السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم اما بعد رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی قال اللہ تعالی فی الفرقان الحمید یا ایھا الذین آمنوا کتب علیکم الصیام کما کتب علی الذین من قبلکم لعلکم تتقون صدق اللہ العظیم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. My noble audience, Allah Almighty has selected each one of us to display a level of obedience throughout our entire life. As we all experience that the level of obedience that we should display is not on display throughout the year. So Allah Almighty aids us, He will assist us in the month of Ramadan by locking up a few ardent enemies. So these enemies are locked up and it becomes a bit easier to display that level that Allah demands. Now many a times when we speak about the month of Ramadan, outside the month of Ramadan or inside the month of Ramadan, the only thing that comes to mind is fasting. So when we visualize the month of Ramadan, the first thing that comes to mind is that I will have to abstain from food and water for certain hours. But if we study the true concept of fasting and we take guidance from the glorious Quran, we will come to know that fasting is not merely keeping away from food and water, but fasting demands us to extract a quality, that if we can extract that quality from the month of Ramadan and adorn ourselves with that quality, this quality will allow us to reach our goals in life, our maqsad in life. Now the principal ayat in the glorious Quran in relation to fasting is in Surah Baqarah. So it's Surah number 2, verse 183. This is the principal ayat. And there are a few verses that follow that are all designated for fasting and the rules pertaining to fast. Allah Almighty says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That, O believers, observing fast has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for people before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you may become muttaqi, righteous. Now my Shaykh Mufti Taqi Usmani Saab, Damat Barakatuhum, he makes mention in his tafsir that first of all Allah addresses a human being by the relationship that he has with his Creator. To understand the love that this address contains, I will give an example. One person has a son, his son's name is Umar. Now there are two ways that he can address him. He can call him by his name, address him by his name and say Umar. Or he can address him by the relationship that he has with him. And he can say son. Now, everyone can understand the difference. If he addresses his son by his name, the addressee himself will understand that I am in trouble. Because normally, my father will address me by my relationship. He will say, oh son. Just by addressing the person or the child by his name, the son does not feel comfortable. He says, father, why don't you address me by the relationship? And if the father is to address him by the relationship, and he says, "Oh son," immediately the son feels comfortable. And he knows that my father is going to say something that is going to benefit me, because it is being dictated and regulated by this relationship. Now, keeping that in mind, Allah Almighty says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu," that, "O believers," He didn't say, "Ya ayyuhannas," He said, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu," "O those that believe." So this address and the style of the address in itself indicates that the message to follow is a message that is regulated by love and compassion. And as we know that the message to follow is fasting, so in fasting there is a rahmat for us. Then Allah Almighty says, and He concludes this ayat by highlighting what is demanded from each one of us, and that is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that we develop the awareness wherever we may be, in whichever theater we are placed, wherever we may find ourselves, that taqwa dictates the terms, regulates the terms. We allow this quality to take over. This is the deep meaning of this ayat, that is the principal ayat in relation to fasting. Now I'm going to highlight a few verses that will give us even a further, better understanding of the message that I'm trying to relate to the best of my ability. Allah Almighty in Surah number 2, Surah Baqarah verse 21, He says, "Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun." As we all know, that if a person wants to become a Muslim, he wants to revert to Islam, he has to acknowledge the creed of faith. Now, many a times when we read the creed of faith, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, the lexical translation, there is none other than Allah. There is none other than Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. But when we read the translation, translated by scholars, that will not be the translation. But the translation will be that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. There is none worthy of worship but Allah. So the scholars have said, in reality, La ilaha illallah reads La ma'buda illallah. La ilaha illallah means La ma'buda illallah, that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. And as we know that when prophets came to their nations, the first message was La ilaha illallah. Qulu La ilaha illallah tuflihun, meaning La ma'buda illallah. Do not worship anyone other than Allah. This was the message. So in Surah number 2, Surah Baqarah verse 21, Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu, that, O mankind, and let's analyze the style of address. Allah does not say, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu now. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas. Because this is a general address to every single human being, those that have accepted and those that have rejected. Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, u'budu rabbakum. Worship your Allah. Worship your Lord. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum. The Lord that created you, that brought you from non-existence into existence, and created the people before you. Now the question that emerges is, that why should I worship my Lord? So Allah concludes the ayat by saying, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, the same style that Allah has used to conclude the ayat 183 in which Allah speaks about fasting. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This worshipping of Allah, where we worship during our prayers, reading Quran during the night, it is to develop something. If we do not develop that, then our worship is hollow, khokhla. It doesn't have life. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So we can develop taqwa. How many people throughout the Muslim world crave, they have this burning desire to visit the house of Allah. So we may go many a times and we return back and then we may whinge for a couple of weeks and say it was very, very hard, so on and so forth. We had blisters in our feet and this and that. But after a couple of months we say we'd like to go again. That is the magnet. The house of Allah is a magnet for the Muslim world. And many people perform Hajj, many people perform Umrah and they return back. And Allah grant each one of us the tawfiq to visit His house many a times. Now when Allah speaks about Hajj, the arkan of Hajj, the different actions that we commit to during Hajj, and the different sites that we visit, may it be Muzdalifah, may it be Mina, may it be Arafah, may it be Maqam Ibrahim, may it be the Mataf, may it be Safa and Marwa. There are so many different sites. What does Allah say in Surah Hajj? Surah Hajj is Surah 22, verse 32. Allah says, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Those that respect the symbols of Hajj. And the symbols of Hajj is inclusive to all the different actions that we commit to when performing Hajj and all the different sites. وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. This is a result of the heart being a resident to the quality of taqwa. That's why the Nabi of Allah, in the hadith of Muslim, he makes mention, he says, التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا. التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا. This is the airport. This is where taqwa lands. And I've said this before, if the airport has been blown up, where is the plane going to land? It won't land. That's why the condition of the heart should be healthy. It should be sound. That's why in Surah 26, verse 88, Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That the heart should be saleem, the opposite term to saqeem. So وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That even performing Hajj, it has a maqsad behind it. Every single amal in Islam has a maqsad behind it. And the maqsad of performing Hajj is that when a person returns, the airport has allowed the plane of taqwa to land. If the plane of taqwa has not landed, this amal of Hajj is hollow. A person has not returned with the maqsad of Hajj. Then there are many, many fortunate people in the Muslim world. Around those days of Hajj, they perform qurbani. They sacrifice. Allah speaks about this in Surah Hajj as well. Surah 22, verse 37. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. That the meat and the blood does not reach Allah. But what reaches Allah is the taqwa. So when a person is sacrificing through this amal, there has to be a maqsad, there has to be an objective. The objective has been explicitly made mention in the glorious Quran, and that is taqwa. So if one person, he sacrifices an animal, and then he enters the house, and he's abusive to his family, he has dropped guard. He has not allowed taqwa to land at the station known as the heart, qalb-e saleem. So this amal of sacrifice, it may be accepted, it may be rejected, Only Allah knows, but the maqsad that was demanded from this sacrifice has not been acquired. What a noble action, building a masjid. What a noble action. There are many different organizations, many different small groups, large groups that have committed day and night. Countless hours are being spent to collect donations to erect a mosque. And Allah give them success. The more the merrier. Now Allah speaks about building masajid in Surah Tawbah. Surah number 9, verse 108. What does Allah say? لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى. One person is building a masjid. And this is a noble action. بَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. There will be a house for him in Jannah. If he builds a masjid in this dunya. But he does not allow taqwa to land at the airport. Then he has been deprived of the maqsad of building the masjid. The maqsad of building the masjid is to attain taqwa, righteousness, to develop the awareness that Allah is all watching, all hearing, all seeing. Then the concluding verse to all these verses that I have made mention, and this speaks about the gist of what we are trying to relate, is in one of these short surahs of the glorious Quran. As many imams throughout the world, in their salah, they will recite surahs from the last juz. The last juz. And the last juz starts from surah 78 onwards. And in these small surahs, Allah Almighty has captured the entire message of the Quran. The entire message of the Quran, 29 pearls have been captured in one pearl. And that is the pearl of the last juz. And the last juz starts from Surah Naba, Surah 78. And in Allah Almighty says in verse 31, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ. That verily for the muttaqeen is mafaza. And all the mufassirun have translated mafaza as jannah. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ. Verily for the muttaqeen there is mafaz, there is success. Mafaz here is translated as jannah. So what do we learn from all these ayat that have been recited? That the maqsad of each amal, noble action that we commit to, is that we develop taqwa. May it be fasting, may it be the establishment of prayer. May it be the establishment of prayer. Let's draw lessons from two stories of the glorious Quran in relation to what we are discussing. In Surah Ma'idah, Allah speaks about the two sons of Adam, peace be upon him, Habil and Qabil. Muhaddithun have said the first Muslim to be thrown into the fire of Jahannam is Qabil. He will be the first. He will be the first Muslim, Fasiq, to be thrown into the fire of Jahannam, Qabil. The brother that murdered Habil. Now Allah speaks about the encounter, the confrontation in Surah Ma'idah. So in Surah number 5, verse 28, Allah draws a picture. لَإِن بَسَتَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. What does Habil say to his brother Qabil? If you stretch your hands towards me, if you stretch your hands towards me to murder me, I am not going to stretch my hands towards you to murder you. Why? Inni akhafullah. Inni akhafullah. Because I fear Allah. Rabbal alameen, the Lord of the alameen. So think about it. A person is pushing you. Pushes you once. And the mufassirun have said, Habil was mightier than Qabil. But what does the Prophet of Allah say? لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمَ السلام. A strong person is not that person that can knock down the opponent, but a strong person is that person then when he's pushed, he can control himself. Knocking somebody down means you have lost control. And a person that loses control is a weak person. A strong person is that person that remains in control. الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ I'm not in the state of anger. To remain in control is very easy now. When will I be tested? When somebody pushes me. When he crosses the limits and the boundaries. To remain in the state of calmness at that theater, that needs courage. That needs true strength, spiritual and physical strength. So Habil says to his brother, you stretch your hands towards me to murder me. I'm not going to do that because I'm the stronger person. I'm the stronger person. Don't use this story nowadays if somebody's pushing me and he wants to murder you and you say, I'm going to stay there. Alhamdulillah, kill me. No. Defend yourself. Inni akhafullah. But what came to the rescue of Habil and made him from the ones that Allah likes? It is the fear of Allah that came to his rescue, that took control of that situation, that sifat, that quality of taqwa came to the rescue, allowed him to make the right decision at that moment. That's why the Nabi of Allah says, and this is something very, very important that we should really ponder over. In our countries, many a times I've seen when I was abroad, I won't mention the country because then people get offended that you're speaking about a country, but a Muslim country. They will fast, and to kill time, they will watch Indian movies. So the whole family is sitting down watching Indian movies. From 10 o'clock to Maghrib. No Salatul Dhuhr, no Salatul Asr. Watching Indian movies. How much more left? 3 hours, one more movie. That's alright. 3 more hours, one more movie. Because Indian movies are very, very long. Because they have to cater for the songs. 10 minutes, 20 songs in one movie. That's how they're killing time. Ibn Khuzaymah has recorded on the authority of Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala, لَيْسَ الصِّيَامِ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ إِنَّمَا الصِّيَامِ مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفْثِ. Fasting, think about it, is there a shortage in the storage of Allah Almighty, in the khazana of Allah Almighty, where he says, alright, 1.6 billion people stop eating because we are trying to collect food for the remaining year. There's going to be a drought, there's going to be a famine. We're filling the khazanas and the storage. No. Imam Ghazali rahimahumullah says, speaking about aqidah, the belief that a Muslim has, that if Allah makes the skies of copper, and the ground of copper as well, where if the rain falls, first of all, the rain can't fall because the sky is made out of copper. But if there was rain to fall, it will fall on copper and that will not produce anything. Allah can still provide for each person as He's providing now. Allah provided for Bani Israel for 40 long years without them making any effort. Manna wa salwa was granted to them. So, لَيْسَ الصِّيَامِ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ. Fasting is not abstaining from food and eating and intimacy. إِنَّمَا الصِّيَامِ مِنَ اللَّغْوَ وَالرَّفْثِ. Fasting in reality is to control the tongue from indecency. Number one. And control the body from committing sin. And how is that going to happen? When a person allows taqwa to land at the airport of the heart. The second story in the glorious Quran, principal story that applies to each one of us, is the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Surah number 12, Surah Yusuf. And I would like to focus upon one ayat. Ayat number 23. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She closed the doors. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She closed the doors. No one else there. One man, one lady. Both fit. Both healthy. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. The doors are closed. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَلَكْ. And Zulaykha says, come on you. Come on you. Invitation. Free pass. Come on. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. As Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, I seek refuge in Allah. Now what was the quality that allowed Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to make this decision at that junction? It was the taqwa. It was the awareness that Allah is watching. That's why the Nabi of Allah says, the hadith is in Ibn Majah reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira once again, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ رُبَّ صَائِمٍ حَظُّهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ الْأَكَلِ الْجُوْ وَالْعَتَشِ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ حَظُّهُ مِنْ قِيَامِ السَّهُ. There are many, many people that fast. But what do they end up with at the end of the day? Everyone is saying, MashaAllah, Roza Rakha. How many fast? 29, 30, the whole month. حَظُّهُ. What is his share from fasting during the daylight hours? What is his share? جُو وَالْعَتْرِ. Only hunger and thirst. Nothing else. He won't get nothing else. And most probably it's those people that only visualize the month of Ramadan that we should abstain from food. We should control our diet. They will get nothing out of this month of Ramadan. وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ. And there are many that stand at night. May it be the Tarabi, may it be Tahajjud. But because it's not with the taqwa, that is the maqsad of standing at night, praying in Tarabi. So what do they get? A sahw. Putting themselves in a state of restlessness where they cannot even make up their sleep. Nowadays there's so much knowledge. If you were to ask a person, what are the fine details pertaining to Ramadan, most probably he can give you a very lengthy talk. That's what I thought. But that's not a reality as well. 2-3 days ago, I shared this last night, a person rang me. I've been here last 19, 20 years, first time it's happened, but somebody rang me. And he says, Imam Sahab, I was intimate with my wife after Fajr. Is my fast valid or not? He thought that fasting is abstaining from food and drink. So he's asked the first time because somehow doubt crept into the mind. But how many a times he's been intimate in the past? Didn't know. وہ سمجھتا ہے کہ بیوی کے ساتھ سو جانا کوئی مسئلہ ہی نہیں. So we nowadays generally at the push of a button there's so much knowledge, there's so many articles. We know the benefits of fasting and we know when the month of Ramadan became compulsory upon us, so on and so forth. What breaks the fast, what doesn't break the fast. We know the tafsir of the Quran. The tafsir of the Quran is in the heart, but the Quran is not in the heart. Tafsir is there, knowledge is there, but the Quran is not there. I would like to conclude my small session with you today with a story that captures everything. Let's allow the Quran to settle in the heart. This quality of taqwa to settle in the heart. Everyone is debating with each other. Should we make dua after salah or not? Saying ameen loud or not? Picking up the finger, moving it or not? Small issues that have become so major in our community, that that person that does not pray like I pray, it's very hard for me to sit with him. There's resentment in my heart for that person. Think about it, what I'm saying. This is a very valid point. These are issues that are petty issues. We have got bigger fish to fry. We got bigger fish to fry. We have to settle these issues, and I don't even consider them to be issues. We have to put them to the side and think about something that is much more important. Don't debate upon knowledge. Let the Quran settle in. Take it as a simple message. For example, Allah says, lower your gaze. Lower your gaze. Now don't come to the Imam and say, what is the meaning of this? What is the tafsir of this? When can I look? When can't I look? We go into all these fine details. And try to become mufassir of that ruling. Muhaddis of that ruling. Alim of that ruling. So the Sahaba were not mufassirun. Most of the Sahaba were not mufassirun. They took the ayat as it is. Now there is an ayat in the Quran, Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 30. So 30, 31 are linked. So in verse 30, Allah says, "Kullil mu'minina yaghuddu min absari." That all men believe in men, yaghuddu min absari. Lower your gaze. That is verse 30. Following verse, وَكُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Then Allah addresses the women and says, believe in women, lower your gaze. So we have been addressed before them, because this problem is in us more than it is in them. Now, we could go to the fine details of this. When are we allowed to look? When are we not allowed to look? Are there any exceptions to this? Sahaba, they took it as it is. Simple message, lower your gaze. Abdullah bin Huzafa radiyallahu ta'ala an, one of the great companions of Nabi Akrima Musa sallam. All, you know, when we have a majlis, there is one person that is very jolly. He will crack jokes. You know, he will allow us to drift away from what is serious. We're talking about something that is very serious, and he will crack a joke. So Abdullah bin Huzafa was of that kind. And the Sahaba complained to the Prophet of Allah. They said, Ya Rasulullah, many a times we're talking about deen and he will crack a joke. Then he will make us laugh. So the Nabi of Allah said, فَإِنَّهُ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ دَعُوهُ. He loves Allah and the Rasul, leave him. Let him crack jokes. Let him crack jokes. So Abdullah bin Huzafa once was captured. He was captured. And when he was captured, now he didn't know the tafaseer of the Quran. So many tafasirs in the world nowadays. He knew the Quran. He didn't have the tafasir, the Quran in his heart. He's captured now. And when he's captured, the enemies of Allah, they say, denounce your faith. We will spare your life. He said, that's not an option. They gave him the option once again. Denounce your faith, we will spare your life. He said, that's not an option. So they put him in a room and they put food there. Now the food was khinzir, the flesh of swine. And in that room they send a beautiful girl. And the instructions given to the girl is, make this person commit zina with you. Now at that time, most probably Abdullah bin Hudhafa, who knew the Quran and the Quran had set in the heart and taqwa had set in the heart, there were two verses that were rotating in his mind, one after another. First is Kullil Mu'minina Yaghuddu Min Absarihim, Surah 24, verse 30. And the second, Surah number 12, verse 23. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابُ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. He settled down in his position. He allowed taqwa to land on the heart. And he sat down. 3 days passed. Think about it. These stories are to inspire us, to make us understand what we need from this month of Ramadan. 3 days pass. This lady gives up. Because if you look, you will think. You will visualize. But if you don't look, the path of sin does not even start. The journey of sin does not start. It all starts by the eye. So 3 days he does not even look. He does not even lift his head to look who's standing in the corner. Now, if it was us, is it halal to look once? You know, just find out what's going on up here. Did not even look. So after 3 days, she opens the door and she goes to the king. She says, أَيُّهَا الْمَلِكُ O King, إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ أَرْسَلْتَنِي إِلَىٰ مَدَرٍ أَوْ حَدِيدٍ لَا يَأْكُلْ وَلَا يَنْظُرْ. That, O King, who did you send me to? Did you send me to a stone? Did you send me to iron? لَا يَأْكُلْ, he does not eat, وَلَا يَنْظُرْ, and he does not even look at me. Because the Qur'an, the message of the Qur'an, was regulating, dictating. Qur'an was in the heart. So our maqsad from this month of Ramadan, remember, the maqsad of the month of Ramadan is to develop. And in Urdu we say, ek khalash paida ho jana, khalash, khatkata. That whenever I am challenged, there is something that activates inside, that makes me aware that what I am doing is wrong. That's why one Sahabi, Imam Hakim, makes mention in Mustadrak Hakim on the authority of Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala, that one person, he said to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Mal iman?" What is iman? What did the Prophet of Allah say? A definition of iman: إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. When good gives you pleasure, and when sin grieves you, فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ, you are a mu'min. That is inside. When I do something good, I feel overwhelmed that I am drawing closer to my Creator. I have pleased my Creator. But when I think of committing a sin or commit a sin, it grieves me. It doesn't allow me to settle down. فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. This is the sign of iman. Develop this in the month of Ramadan. This is a rehearsal month. Because there are many things that we are abstaining from. But this should not be a temporary abstaining. It should be a permanent abstaining. This is the maqsad. Ask Allah. If taqwa has been secured, and we refurbish the airport and allow the plane of taqwa to land, we have succeeded in the month of Ramadan, outside the month of Ramadan, and we will depart this world with mafaza in our pocket. Inshallah, Allah Rabbul Izzah give us tawfiq. Now I'll ask my crowd, inshallah we will think about this, and we will try to attain this. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.